Come all ye weary, come all ye thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come on. Thank you.
Next week, we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is a great day, and we're going to have a great day next Sunday in God's house. But this week, before Jesus could be raised, he had to die, and he went to the cross, and on the cross, he paid the penalty for your sins and my sins. The Bible says, but God committed his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. The Bible says that our salvation wasn't purchased with silver and gold, but it was purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So for the next few moments, we're going to sing a song that we sang just a couple of weeks ago that talks about redeemed. And my prayer today is that you have been redeemed, that you've asked Jesus to save you. And Brother Chris is going to come and give an announcement, and then we're going to sing when we survey the wondrous cross. And I pray over these next 10 or 15 minutes that you'll think about the price that Jesus paid so that you could have salvation.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am.
Good morning to you. Glad to see you here this morning for God's house, for to hear God's word. And we already have had a good Sunday school hour. I want to welcome our visitors. We have a number of new faces here this morning, and we appreciate you coming and being with us here at Bible Baptist. Want you to enjoy yourself, and one of the ushers will probably come by and give you a visitor's packet. Please take the card in that packet and fill it out for us, if you will. Leave it laying in your pew or drop it in the offering plate on your way out after the services. Let me just remind everybody that tonight is a very, very special night. And I tell you now, because you might be planning your day as you sit here, and we want to invite everybody, young and old, to be at our youth auction tonight. The youth will be serving us a meal. They'll be taking care of all the work there, and you just got to sit down and enjoy yourself. And a lot of people have made items and will be bringing, either have already brought items or will be bringing items to be auctioned off. And then we're going to need a lot of people to bid on those items. If you are not in a position where you could do either one, we still want you to come and support our youth. Have this meal with us. If you got kiddos coming to camp this summer, you know you're going to want to for them to have their way paid. And so we want you to have your kids participate in the youth auction and have them here tonight. So it's a special time. Please get it on your mind and join us tonight. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer right now and get this thing started. Already had a good special from the choir. Let's seek the Lord in prayer for just a moment. Now, Brother Ben in the back, will you lead us in a word of prayer, please, sir?
Years I spent in vanity and pride. I cared not that my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great. Grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied unto me at Calvary. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha. It's being interpreted the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they crucified him, they parted his garments, and they cast lots upon them what every man should receive. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And when they crucified him with two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "He was numbered among the transgressors." And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, behold, he destroyeth the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking, and the scribes saying, "He saved himself, he cannot save others. If he be the Christ, the King of Israel, let him descend from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And it was the sixth hour. And there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Would you stand with me, please? We're going to sing the first verse of Jesus Paid It All a cappella while the choir goes down, and then the instruments will join us. Here we go.
I hear my Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all.
Thankful God, we know that without your Son Jesus, Lord, we would still be in our sins. We'd still be separated from you. But we know through the cross, through the shed blood of your Son Jesus, Lord, we can be cleansed and redeemed, become children of God. We can have an eternal home. We can have hope. Father, we come this time of year that we talk about the cross, and we talk about the resurrection, and we talk about all that's accomplished through that, and those are very much things to rejoice about. But Lord, help us to be keep in mind that every week, every day of the year is a time to recognize what you've done for us. Not just a seasonal thing, but Father, something that we can be thankful for every moment of every day. We're grateful for your church. We're so thankful, God, to be together in your house this morning. And we ask your blessings, Lord, over the children that are being taught in the back. We ask your blessings over our guests, our visitors that have come this morning. I pray, Lord God, that they'll feel at home, that they'll feel that this is a place that they can return to and become a part of this family. And God, we have so much to be thankful for. We could spend the rest of our time together, Lord, just itemizing and cataloging the things that that you've given us and that belong to us, but Father, time won't allow, so we are just asking that your Holy Spirit would have his way in this service. Teach us from the Word of God. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to what you're saying. And we pray all of this and ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the last time we were together, I spoke to you about hearing the voice of God. God has always been willing to communicate with His children, and it's no different for you and I in the age we live in than in the ages past. God wants to speak. What is different now is there are far more obstacles to hearing God. They are greater now than they have ever been because of the noise, if you will, of our society. We're continually bombarded. Our hearts and our minds are continually just plagued with the words and the information of this world. And so if we ever hope to listen to God, if we ever hope to hear His voice, we must first learn to turn down the volume, if you will, of this world. And we have to learn the discipline of silence. God wants to be heard. His desire is to instruct us and to guide us. We talked about that last week. He wants to comfort. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to reveal to you and I His plan for our life. And more importantly than anything, He wants to speak to us simply because He loves us. People who love one another communicate. So we learned together last week four ways that God communicates with His children. First, He speaks through His Word. That's pretty understandable. He speaks through His Holy Spirit that lives within us. He speaks through other people. Oftentimes there are people around us that are spiritual people, godly people. It may be our parents. It may be our Sunday school teacher. It may be a teacher at school. It may be a coach. It may be a neighbor. But people in our lives that are in touch with God sometimes will share some things with us that God is using them to speak to us. And then, of course, He speaks through circumstances. We talked about that as well. Those are the methods that God speaks to us today. Now, the next thing we have to realize that if we are saved, if we are, in fact, Christians, children of God, we have the ears to hear. It's not like we don't have the ears. You say, well, of course, everybody has ears. I happen to have been given a great big set of them. I've always had big ears. Many in my family do. We got those from our grandpa. But that's not what I'm talking about. We're not talking about the big physical ears. We're talking about the spiritual ears that God has given us. Now, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'd like for you to look at verse 12 with me. The Apostle Paul says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God." When you and I came into this world, we did not have spiritual ears. We had physical ears, but we didn't have spiritual ears to hear the voice of God. In fact, we were prohibited by our sins from even being in the presence of God. We were only equipped to hear the voices of the world. That's the way we're born, okay? But when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God takes up residence in us. We've talked about that many times. He lives within us. And when He moved in, He gives us the ability to know and understand and hear spiritual things. He is, as verse 12 says in the first part of it, the Spirit which is of God. What that equates to is you and I have become able to not only hear, but to know and understand the spiritual things that are around us. Before we were Christians, we could only understand the things of this world and hear the voices of this world. After becoming Christians, we have the ability to understand spiritual things and hear the voices of the spiritual realm, the things that come from God. Now notice the second part of verse 12 there. It says, but the Spirit, we receive the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us to God. God's saying, I've given you spiritual ears so you can begin to know the supernatural world. You can begin to know my world, the kingdom, if you will. And it says emphatically that we can know what God wants us to know, okay? Notice it says that it's freely given. In other words, he's saying, I've opened up the doors to you, if you will, to explore my world or my realm, if you will. He has generously granted you and I access to all things spiritual. Now, let me just tell you a little story about myself, maybe to communicate this to you a little more clearly. When I first got saved, I began to read the Bible, and I was excited about what I was reading. And I began to hunger for more
not just the Word of God, but Christian books, commentaries, Bible helps, things like that. I really was hungry to understand the kingdom. I was hungry to understand the things of God. But and by the way, I had never read a single book before I got saved, not one time. I'd faked my way all the way through junior high and high school, fake book reports and everything else. The Bible is the very first book that I read completely, okay? And so I hunger for this reading and these books and all of this, but I didn't have the books to read. And I didn't have the money to go buy the books to read. But my pastor, Brother Rob Seal, he had, by that time, accumulated a pretty nice-sized Christian library in his office, okay? And he invited me to access his books anytime I wanted. In other words, he says, Chris, you come in my office anytime you want, before or after church, and you can get in this library and you can borrow all the books you want. Folks, you talk about excited. You talk about thrilled. I was like a kid in a candy store. I had been freely given the access to a whole new world of knowledge about God. Now, that story is a microcosm of what God has freely given you and I to know through the Holy Spirit. God has opened up the library, if you will, and said, you're my child, come on in and get as much knowledge and as much understanding as you would like. In fact, there's so much in that spiritual library. I want you to notice how verse 9 describes it. It says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He said, there's a whole lot here, and I freely give it to you. I freely give it to you to come and learn. And it's speaking of a whole new world that's ours. And really, world is not a good word, because our point of reference is this world, and there's nothing, they're not even closely alike. So let's just call it a realm. God says, I have opened up a whole new realm, a supernatural, spiritual realm to you. God has made available to you and I, and it's just theirs for us to discover. It's theirs for us to learn. Freely given, available, starting the moment that we get saved, okay? Now, as we have already said, God has provided you and I a guide through that world, and he's called the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 10. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Isn't that something? God's saying, here's my library. Here's the whole new spiritual realm that's available to you. And not only that, but I'm going to give you a tour guide, my Holy Spirit that lives within you. Many years ago, when my kids were in school, Megan was in high school, and we took a trip to New York City. It was through the school, and it was a educational type trip. It was really a neat deal, and there was a large group of us went. And it's one of the best trips I've ever taken in my life. I never would have thought. I did it to be with my daughter and do something with her, but it turned out to be the best trip I ever took. Just New York City, exciting. It was around the Christmas holidays, and all the tree was up at Times Square, and it was just fantastic. And it opened my eyes to a whole different world, and especially being the country Texas boy that I was. I saw the Empire State Building, saw the Fifth Avenue, Central Park, the Madison Square Garden, Times Square, Ground Zero, Broadway shows. We went to Broadway shows, the Rockettes. It was around Christmas time, and all and on and on and on the list goes. It was packed full of stuff that we got to see in a 5-day period. But what made that possible for us to take in so many things in such a short period of time was, first of all, we had a tour bus for all of our transportation, okay? We could always go back to the bus, and they took us around, so that was not a problem. But here's the big deal. We had a full-time guide/teacher that was with our group from start to finish, morning, noon, and night. He was with us, and he knew everything about New York City. He knew everything about, more specifically, Manhattan. And so he could tell you this was this and that was that, and he knew all the little tidbits and all the little details, and he just was so familiar with it that he made it easy for us to discover vast amounts of information and experience wonderful, exciting things in a short period of time. Where am I going with that analogy? Not only is a whole new exciting spiritual realm available to you and I, open to us as children of God, but the Holy Spirit is our tour guide and our teacher. Not only does he know the spiritual realm that we are now a part of, but he is the creator, owner, and host of it. And he says, I want you to know these things. I want you to see this exciting thing here. I want you to see this over here. He's willing to show us around. So much to be discovered. But God not only wants to speak to us about these things, but he wants us to comprehend these things. It's not just a matter of, you know, there's passive listening and then there's aggressive listening. You're listening to gain something, okay? First and foremost, he wants us to know the truth about him. God says, welcome to my office, if you will, or my library. I want you to learn about me. The Apostle Paul knew this when he made this statement. He says in Philippians 3:10, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. Paul lived what seemed like a very paradoxical type life. The Apostle Paul, once he became a believer, his Christian life was riddled with tribulation. One trial after another, from being beaten and stoned to being shipwrecked and imprisoned and a lot of heartache in between. But yet, Paul was the most fulfilled, content, and focused man that you can find. Two things: chaotic world he lived in, and a spiritual realm that he was privy to, and the knowledge of God and who he was, what his holiness was about, what his power was about, what his love, grace, peace, joy, all of that, what it was about. All these mighty truths were the Apostle Paul's to learn and know, and they are ours as well. And Paul comprehended those things because God taught them to him. He also, not only does he want you and I to know about him and comprehend him, he wants us to know about ourselves. God wants to speak to us about ourselves. When you open the Bible, you not only learn about God, you not only learn about heaven, you learn about yourself. Because God created you, he can tell you about yourself. He'll identify and make us aware of our strength and our weaknesses, of the pitfalls that are around us. He will show us his plan for our lives, his purpose for our lives. He will reveal to us our position in Christ, who we are as children of God, the privileges that we have as citizens of his kingdom, and so many other things. There's so much more than that meets the eye that you and I can discover if we go to the Word of God and say, hey, I want to know more about myself. I want to know who I am, what my purpose is. And God's willing to disclose those things to us through his word. Thirdly, he wants us to know the truth about others. He wants us to know about him. He wants us to know about us. But he wants us to know about others. And folks, this is huge in our lives as believers. Beginning to see those around us as God sees them. It'll change us, folks. You talk about life-changing, revolutionizing knowledge. When we begin to look at people through the lens of Scripture, and we begin to recognize that people around us are more than just another flesh and blood body that lives on this planet, but they are in fact living souls in need of redemption. When we begin to see them as living souls that are plagued by sin, targeted by Satan, products of a lost and dying world, when other human beings are viewed in that way, it totally alters the way we relate to them. When you and I begin to see with a big heart that that person next to me needs to be saved, no matter how foolish they are, no matter how messed up they are, no matter how rude they are or obnoxious they are, they're still a living soul that needs to be saved just like I was. I'm telling you, when we see these things, when we see people as God sees them, it's a remedy for much of our anger. It's a cure for much of our hate. It aids us in becoming caring, loving, compassionate people. In reality, what it does is it makes us more like Jesus. And that's God's goal all along, is to make us more Christ-like. I don't know about you, but I want to hear the voice of God in these areas. I want to learn about myself, I want to learn about Him, and I want to learn others. God wants us to know those truths, I assure you. But He doesn't just want us to know them. He wants us to be conformed to them. The Bible uses that word conformed in two different places in the New Testament, and it means to be fashioned by. See, it's not just good enough to know who God is and know who we are and know who other people are at the way God sees them, but we need to become fashioned by that, conformed to that, rather, and fashioned into to letting that shape who we are. When God speaks to us and reveals the truth to us, we can do one of two things. We can take that truth and then just go on about our business and make no changes, or we can yield to that truth and say, that truth is going to fashion me into what I need to be, and be willing to let it change us and make us a better servant of the Lord. Let me tell you something. God is not a casual speaker. He didn't just throw things out there once in a while. That's not the way He communicates. God is not into idle chatter. He's not just filling space with His words. He doesn't indulge in chit-chat. God speaks with a purpose. And He wants us to learn to listen with a purpose. To open our eyes, to open our ears, and to open our minds and our hearts and say, hey, whatever you're saying, I want to take that to heart. I want that to become real to me. But it's up to us to make sure we have that purposeful listening heart. If you and I just kind of saunter into church, just kind of prepare to shake a few hands and sit down and listen to another sermon and then stand at the altar, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, and then just dismiss in prayer and shake a few hands and go to the house and just really look more forward to the roast that's on the table than we did anything in the house of God. Well, if we do that, we're just casual listeners. At best, we're certainly not listening with a purpose. Casual listeners may pick up on a few things, but they certainly are never going to absorb what is being said in totality. It's the same with our Bible reading, friends. I'm guilty of this as much as anybody, but if we're just trying to just get it done and get it out of the way for the day, or just trying to keep up with our reading schedule, then we're likely not going to hear much from God. We just open, hey, I've got to get three chapters in, I better hurry, this sort of thing. We're not going to hear from God. But if we don't read our Bibles at all, we're sure not going to hear from God. Think about our Bibles like this. If your Bible is laying on your desk, or if it's laying in the seat of your pickup, or it's laying on a table at home, it is a conversation with God that's waiting to be had. See it that way. That Bible right there is God's word to me. It's a conversation that I can engage and indulge in if I will open it up. You see, a person with an open Bible and an open heart and open mind and open ears are going to be met with God with an open mouth that wants to speak to us. But we have to set ourselves up for that conversation with the Father. Can He speak to us without us opening our Bible? Sure, we talked about that through circumstances, people, and Holy Spirit, and this sort of thing. But He loves for us to engage Him in conversation and do this and just open it up and say, all right, God, I'd like to hear from You today. Here's what's on my mind. We tell you our prayers. You tell us what You want us to know from this spiritual realm that You live in. But if we kind of daydream through it, just kind of flip our way through there, casually listen, we're not going to take in everything He wants us to hear. God will lead us. He will direct us. He will comfort us. He will refresh us. He will correct us. He will challenge us. He will convict us every single day of our life if we're willing to open our ears to His Bible. What about the Holy Spirit? We can be casual listeners to the Holy Spirit as well. We're doing something and the Spirit nudges our heart and says, no, don't do that. Or He corrects us and says, wait a minute, just hold up just a little bit. If you and I just trudge on and do our own thing, then we're not listening. We're not listening. He's there for a purpose. He wants to, if we just trudge right ahead after He's shown us something, He's not accomplishing, He's not able to protect us, if you will, from the things that lie ahead, the mistakes that He knows that He's trying to warn us about. We're not going to be able to avoid the negative consequences that He had wanting us to miss out on because we're just trudging ahead doing our own thing. We have to learn to listen to Him. A casual listener won't hear the Holy Spirit. A casual listener will not yield to the Holy Spirit. Circumstances are very similar. And I've told you that circumstances speak to us. God will take different events, different occurrences, different trials, triumphs, mishaps, tragedies, experiences, whatever it is, and He'll lead us to certain truths that He wants us to know through those circumstances. If we will listen. If we'll be purposeful listeners. How do you listen to a circumstance? It's like this. By stopping and thinking about the dynamics that are involved with whatever particular situation that you're dealing with. We may be able to look at the circumstances surrounding us, not even affecting us. Maybe the circumstances in somebody else's life. And stop and contemplate for a moment and think about what's happening there and consider the whole deal and ask ourselves questions like, what caused this? What happened here? How could this have been avoided? Or if it's a positive circumstance, how can I make this happen in my life? How can I make this happen again? How can I cause this to repeat itself? What role did I play in this? What role did God play in this? How can I learn from this? What is God wanting me to see through this? You see, we can hear from God through these circumstances if we will slow down and take time to look at things and listen to things. And look at the third circumstance with those questions in our mind. We are opening our ears to God's voice when we do that. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I have no Bible to support this necessarily. But I would venture to say that our deepest, most profound, life-altering lessons from God are heard and learned more through circumstances than they are the Bible. Now, why do I say that? Because we only read our Bibles just for a limited time each day, right? Most people, some pastors are able to spend hours maybe, perhaps, but most people at best, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. But we are surrounded by circumstances day in and day out. And I know in my own experience that God has honed me and shaped me more so through walking through life than he has just reading the pages of the Bible, as great as reading the pages of the Bible are. But God's turned me around more through adversity, through some kind of humbling that I might go through, or some sort of fearful event where things become uncertain in my life, my finances, my children, my wife, or whatever. He has taught me as much or more through that, those little voices, as he has through the Bible. And here's the other thing about it. Most of the circumstances in our life throughout the day are minor, they're incidental, they're not life-changing, but they can still be little voices. Listen to this verse right here. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 12 says this, "The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked." You know what that's saying? We can even look closely at the evil world around us and learn from them. We can learn from the mistakes of the wicked. I've seen wickedness that has led to tragedy, and it's so profoundly devastating situation that it's made me stop and say, wow, what in my life could make me fall into that? What am I missing, God? What am I blind to? What little signs am I missing in my life that I need to know about to keep me from letting that happen to myself? What can I do to protect those that I love? When you see, I just read an article yesterday, and I don't read much as far as news goes, but it was a headline popped up on my phone and looked interested, and I clicked on it about a 13-year-old boy who was being bullied at school. Now, bullying is a bad thing, okay? I don't think everybody that's bullied is being bullied, okay? Because every person on TV that you watch The Voice or AGT, everybody's been bullied. And I'm like, who's doing the bullying then? I mean, but it's a very real thing in many respects, okay? And this young man was a tremendous baseball player and had a great home life, had a lot going, tremendous athlete, but he was being bullied at school. And with no sign at all, he came home from school and took his own life. Now, that happens a lot. I mean, we read about these things, but there was something about that that made me stop and think. And of course, I was during my Saturday of studying anyway. And I began to think about my own grandchildren and their attitude towards others, whether they're either being bullied or bullying, being unkind to somebody. And I thought to myself, how important it is for us as parents and grandparents to impart to our children the dangers of treating people like that. This kid made a video before he took his life, a video of himself speaking and named the names of all the people who had been treating him badly at school. Can you imagine living with that? You see, that's a circumstance that we can learn from. If they're all around us, if we'll sit and think through things that are happening, you watch the news, you see this, that, and the other, and think through what's behind this. What mistake did this guy make? I better not do this because we're live. But a run on to a family, a guy just inadvertently here a while back that was the father of somebody that's been in the news recently. You would know the story. And what a tragic situation it was involving his son. There again, these circumstances are all around us. God wants to speak to us. And if we will take our time and ask ourselves, what can I learn from this? God will speak to our hearts. We're going to do something once again. David, you guys can make your way to the piano. We're going to do the same thing we did last week, just to drive home a point about turning off the noise. We're going to take 60 seconds of total silence. You can be praying, or you can just be thinking and listening to what God might be saying to you. Not tremendous amount of things are going to happen in 60 seconds, but my point is for you and I to learn that we can get silent. We can create an environment where the noise is all taken away from us and God's voice can be heard. We'll give it 60 seconds and then I'll lead us in a word of prayer.
Father, we give you thanks today for just that 60 seconds that you're teaching us to turn down the volume of this world and get our hearts and our minds quiet so that we can hear your voice. We know, Lord God, that you can speak to us in so many ways. But Lord, unless we learn to listen and hear your voice, we're not going to get it. Help us, Lord God, through these couple of messages that we had to walk away from here understanding that we have the tools, we have the ears, if you will. You gave them to us, God, spiritual ears to hear. And let us set out each day with the intent of hearing your voice. Thank you for what you provided us through your Bible. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Thank you, Lord, for the people around us that influences and perhaps may speak truth into our life as well. And Lord, we'll even give thanks for the circumstances, good or bad, that teach us things. We ask for the next few moments, God, as we have our folks stand, that we're going to have this invitation that you'll speak to hearts and lives. Draw people close to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to stand. We'll take just a few moments.